Good morning. In case any of you are wondering, my hands are sweaty. This type of thing doesn't come real easy for me. But I have to think back to that men's meeting we had a while back, and we all kind of agreed that when it came to our turn, we would take our turn. So I'm taking my turn this morning, I guess you could say. I do want to thank each one of you for that was praying for me this week. I got text messages and that people were thinking about me and praying for me, and I really appreciate it because I could feel it. And the topic that I want to speak about this morning is something that I didn't really want to have to share, and I'm not really sure why, other than the fact that it tends to step on my toes a little bit. But I had my mind was in the weeks leading up to this has been going in a number of different directions, and I wasn't quite sure which way to go. And just past Monday, I believe it was, this is the subject that just kind of stuck in my head, and I couldn't get it to leave. I tried to get it to leave. But it just kept coming back. So I felt like this is what I was supposed to share this morning. So I covet your prayers. My biggest struggle when it comes to speaking like this is I rarely am at a loss for words. Everybody that knows me knows that. I usually can say something about something if I have to. But my biggest problem when it comes to speaking in front of people is I sat at home this morning and I was pretending that you guys were in front of me in my living room. It's a lot easier there, by the way. I could think of. I followed my notes and kind of rehearsed what I wanted to say. But when I get up here, I guess it's just kind of human nature. But our minds, or at least mine does, it kind of tends to freeze a little bit, and I don't get out what I want to say. And this week was a busy week, a lot of things going on, and I just want to thank Mr. Joel for getting me off of my, I was supposed to have chapel on Wednesday too, and he came to me and said that if my plate's too full that they can make do without that, so I appreciate that, and then some of it was self-inflicted because a few people, including myself, are tax procrastinators. And tomorrow's the deadline, and we filed yesterday. So that was another thing that went on this week. So we had I had a busy week, but I feel like God has something to for me to share this morning, and I want to go ahead and get into that and share that with you guys this morning. The subject I want to speak on is a command that God gave us when He was speaking. I'm going to read a few verses. My passage or my script this morning will come out of Luke chapter 10. It's a very familiar passage, verses 25 through 37. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Everybody in here has heard that story numerous times. The thought that kept coming to me this week and leading up to today is, and if I had to give my my talk, I'm not going to call it a message because I'm not a preacher, just my topic this morning is, if I had to title it, it would be Loving Your Neighbor as Yourself. And that's what we want to talk about this morning a little bit. Could I get a water up here, please? I don't know if this one's fresh or not, but for some reason my mouth is dry. I can't understand why either. But that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning, loving our neighbor as ourself, and just kind of dig into that a little bit and talk about what that means and maybe define a little bit who our neighbor is and also what does it mean to, when we say to love yourself. And also, and then just, I've got a number of points here we want to go down through, just talking a little bit about what love is. Loving your neighbor as yourself is found 8 times in the Bible. Not once, not twice, 8 times. Loving your neighbor as yourself is so important to God that he may not that he not only repeats himself, he makes it a command. And not just one in a list of many commands. Jesus coupled the command to love your neighbor as yourself with loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So God put a lot of emphasis on loving your neighbor. He put it right in there, and we'll read that verse. I'll read these verses this morning here. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, thank you. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." So we see here, when Jesus asked this certain lawyer, what is written in the law, and what is your reading of it? And this guy replied back to this, saying, and he quoted this about loving the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So God coupled those two things together. So to me, my interpretation is it's almost just as important to love your neighbor as it is to love God. We have to love God first. But then following right close behind that is loving our neighbor as ourself. To begin to love your neighbor as yourself, you need to know two things. To know what love is and how do we love ourselves. So first of all, let's talk about what kind of love is he talking about here when he says love ourself or love our neighbor as ourself. Love can be interpreted in many different ways. There's a love that you feel for your spouse. There's a love that you feel for your children. That's not the love that we're talking about here. If we love our neighbor the same as we love our spouse, we're going to have some problems. So it's two different kinds of love here. And the love that we're talking about is... I have a little thing I want to read here that explains it much better than I can. I found a website here that talked a little bit about this, and I'm just going to read this real quick because it can explain it a whole lot better than I can. When you read Jesus' command to love your neighbor as yourself, does it puzzle you slightly? After all, aren't most of us more likely to loathe rather than love ourselves, being overly self-critical? If we are going to obey Jesus' commands, we first need to comprehend this idea of self-love. In today's passage, we see Jesus introduce the concept when asked which command in the law is the greatest. The original Greek word translated love goes beyond having warm, fuzzy feelings towards someone or about ourselves. It suggests action. It means to have benevolence towards, to take regard to their welfare. Based on this definition, self-love goes beyond feeling good about ourselves, which we don't always feel, and means taking action in regard to our own welfare. Turns out we are pretty good at this, too. We look out for our welfare each day when we make sure we have such our basic needs are met through food we eat, warm clothes to wear, and a comfy place to lay our heads at night. But you and I both know that we often take it a step further, beyond meeting our basic needs. We take me time. By going for a walk alone or doing something fun we love, we buy ourselves special treats and might even pamper ourselves with a manicure or massage. These are all ways we practice self-love. So that's the type of love that Jesus is talking about here in this passage. It's talking about action. It's talking about showing compassion, showing grace, caring for other people, and showing that. And we can see that's what the Good Samaritan did, that we like to call him. He's the one that was the one that had compassion on that man laying in a ditch. And I wrote down a number of points here that I want to kind of go over to help us understand a little bit better. Love is patient and kind. We all know how it feels when somebody is kind to us and when they're patient with us. Each and every one of us has been in a situation where we made a mistake, whatever it might have been. I'm sure each one of us here knows what it's like to be, when people showed us kindness, we also know what it's like when they didn't. And we all know which one feels the best. Love is patient and kind, and it could be, and I have to, you know, I have this issue a lot with myself. I'm an employer, I have employees. Sometimes we tell our employees to do things, and it seems like we just have to keep telling them over and over and over again. And do I show that kindness towards them, or do I finally get tired of them and I'm like, seriously, come on, guys, how many times do I have to tell you this? I've told you the same thing over and over again. You know, eventually you would get it. Or maybe we respond to our children that way. Or heaven forbid, our spouses. Sometimes we get frustrated with our spouses and we come off angrily. It could be people in our own church. You know, there's a number of different things. Tearing somebody else down to lift ourselves up has no place in the life of a Christian. And that's what oftentimes when we don't show kindness and have patience towards somebody in love, where oftentimes we tear them down. The next point I have here is loving your neighbor means looking out for their well-being. Philippians 2:4 says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." So loving your neighbor is looking out for their well-being, checking in on somebody if they're, if we know they're not feeling well, or maybe it's sending a text message and just be like, "Hey, how's your week going? Are you doing okay? How's everything going?" One thing that this church does extremely well is taking meals to people when they're sick or when they've been in an accident or something like that. It's been almost a year ago since Jen had her accident on her horse, and we found that out firsthand. We had meals upon meals brought in. We had, you know, wonderful text messages. We had people go sit with me in the parking lot in the hospital when I couldn't go in. All those things fit right hand in hand with that of looking out for the well-being of others. And it's not always just our friends. It's easy to check on our friends. We like our friends. We like being around them, and it's easy to, if we know our friend is going through something, it's easy to text our friend or call them and be like, "Hey, you know, how's it going?" But when it's not a close friend is when it's a struggle sometimes. And that's often the ones that we need to show the most love to, because you know, maybe they don't have as many friends as some other people do, and they just don't have, it's hard for them to get through some tough times. Love is doing things for others without expecting anything in return. That's a big key too, with this whole subject. We should never do something nice for somebody because that's what we want. We're hoping that we get something back in return. Everything that we do out of love for somebody needs to be thought of as, "I'm doing this for you and I'm not expecting anything in return." Loving your neighbor means speaking kindly to or about them. Not talking or not gossiping about somebody behind their back. That's a struggle for me sometimes. It's something that I have to constantly work on, constantly remind myself of, that, you know, gossip is a killer of friendships, and it can be a killer in a church too if we if we're gossiping about other people, and a lot of times, more often than not, the gossip is not even true. And, you know, it hurts a lot when somebody, when you find out that there's things going around about you that are not true. And, or you know, it's just, it doesn't feel good at all. Our words mean something. Our words, you know, they hurt. It doesn't feel good when we hear those things. We've all heard that little phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Any of you children that have ever heard that saying is 100% false. And I remember hearing that when I was just a little guy, and I thought that was cool, you know. Now, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, they'll never hurt me. Yeah, right. Yes, they will. Words can do some major damage. Words can be extremely uplifting. We can really help somebody with our words, but we can also destroy somebody with our words too. And we can destroy friendships. Words can build up or they can tear down. Speak words of encouragement. Give compliments. Find the good in a situation instead of the bad. That's always a... I had a friend of mine, and I can't remember his name anymore. It slips my mind, but it didn't matter what went on or what happened. It always seemed like he found something good out of that situation. And that's... I wish I could be more that way. Because we all have things that we go through in our life from time to time, and a lot of times our first response is negative. We want to, why is this happening to me? You know, this is, you know, whatever. But there's always a good situation in pretty much every situation that we come in, that we are involved in, if we're just look for it. Talking about words, you know, we hear this a lot. We hear this, if you can't say something nice, then just keep your mouth shut. And that's a good reminder too. Something that I have to try to teach myself. You know, sometimes if all you can think of is something mean or something not nice, let's just zip it. And when I think about people in this church, there's two people that come to mind. Miss Martha and Miss Dorothy. I don't think I've ever heard a harmful word come out of either one of y'all guys' mouth. And so I want to bless you guys this morning in that aspect. It's just, I've never heard a negative from either one of you, and I really appreciate that. Moving on here, next point I have, loving your neighbor means making allowances for their humanity. What does that mean? We're all human. Every one of us is human. There's not one person that's sitting in here that has not made a mistake. And, you know, unless the Lord calls you home real soon, we're going to make mistakes again. It's human nature. It's part of life. Nobody in here is perfect, and everybody's going to make mistakes, but it's what we do with those mistakes and how we respond to other people when they make mistakes that affect us. Do we fly off the handle, or do we extend them grace and forgiveness? And, you know, it's okay to make a mistake. Sometimes we have, I go back to, you know, what I mentioned in the beginning, one of my earlier points about how do we react to people when they make mistakes, employees, children, spouses. You know, that's probably the biggest weakness I have with this whole thing is how I respond to people around me when they don't do things that I think that they should. And the problem is, so many times when we, at least for myself, if I would stand in front of a mirror and I would look at myself, I could stand there and I could pick out just as many mistakes that I've made, and, you know, it would far outweigh any mistakes that were made against me. And I think like it was mentioned in the Sunday school class this morning, if we look at people and we look at things in our life through God's lens, you know, things would look a whole lot different. Our lives would be a lot different. Our church would be a lot different. Everything around us would be a lot different. If we can learn to look at things from God's perspective, No one is always right or knows everything. And sometimes we get blamed for something that was not even our fault. You know, that was not, like going back to when I was talking about with gossip earlier, and something that came to my mind, and way back when I was trying to think of how old I was when this happened, I'm not sure. I can't remember anymore, but I know I was in elementary class, and I'm guessing that I was probably in about third or fourth grade. Another little boy, he was a Ukrainian or a Russian boy or something, not sure, were playing the one day, and we were out in the ball field, and we had the chain link fence there at Whispering Pines around the backstop, and we were climbing up that chain link fence, and we were both climbing up, and somehow, I don't remember exactly all the details, but somehow he fell off, and he wasn't really high. We were maybe 3 feet off the ground at the time. He fell off and kind of hurt himself. He was crying and sniffling, and he went inside the school, and pretty soon the teacher came out, and she came up to me, and she said, Clayton, she said, I'm not going to say his name because some of you might remember him, but this boy said that you pushed him off of the fence. I said, no, I did not. I didn't push him off. And she said, well, he says that you did. And I said, well, I didn't push him off. And I don't remember if I honestly don't remember if I shook the fence when I was climbing. I just know I didn't intentionally try to make him fall off. And, I mean, it turns out that she believed him over me. And I was accused of lying, and I got sent to the principal's office. And if you were at Whispering Pines, and Wendell is about the only one in here that would have a lot of experience with where the paddle was kept, I got taken into the supply room and I got my tail whooped for lying. And I wasn't. I didn't lie. And that was something that stuck with me for a long time. And I don't hold a grudge about it. I really don't. But it's just kind of a funny thing that comes to mind every once in a while when we talk about this kind of stuff, about how our words can affect other people. And it's not even, you know, maybe some of the things that we're saying is not even true about somebody else, but it can have a negative effect. And that's just a funny little story that happened to me. And just take that for what it's worth. Anyways, let's just, a good reminder to how our words can affect other people. Love is not easily offended or critical. Today we hear all the time about, you know, things that offend me. This offends me. That offends me. And it seems like that's all we hear anymore. And you are scared to about do anything out in the street or out in public, you know, because we might offend somebody else. And our words can offend people. You know, we can say hurtful things, and it's something that we have to be careful about. And you know, one of the things that I wanted to mention earlier, like I said, sometimes my mind doesn't remember things like I want it to, and but we all have that. There's always, I'm sure each and every one of us have a certain person in our life when we talk about this kind of subject that comes to our mind, of somebody that just kind of rubs us the wrong way. It's just, don't know really what it is about that person, but it's like a thorn in your flesh almost when you're around that person. And I mean, I have to admit, one person comes to my mind, and my wife could probably tell you who that person is. And it's gotten to the point where I catch myself, you know, actually having, you know, strong feelings towards that person just because of their, a lot of it has to do with their views of life. They are extremely liberal in their thinking, in their lifestyle, and Yeah, it's actually, I catch myself being like, thinking to myself, you know, I really don't have a whole lot of use for that person. And that is a horrible attitude to have towards somebody. But that's the way we can tend to get, and that's, I think, the devil uses that. He knows that as human beings, that's a weakness of ours. And that's just, when you think about loving your neighbor as yourself, that's like the farthest thing from feeling love towards a person. And, you know, it's actually, in my case, it's a whole lot worse because it's actually a family member. Not my personal family, but extended family. And it gets, sometimes when we sit down and we talk about this kind of stuff, you know, I can let myself get so worked up. And I think Satan knows our weaknesses. Well, I don't think so. I know he knows our weaknesses. And he sticks that needle inside of me and like, yeah, that person really gets you fired up. That's one area where this subject really steps on my toes. And that's where a subject that, or one of the reasons why I didn't really want to look into this, because it's an area that I know in my life that I need to work on. And it's an area that, I think each and every one of us can think of areas in our lives that this can tie into, to where we have things that we can work on. No one is always right or knows everything. I'm not sure if I said that or not, but I just said it again. We all make mistakes, even though sometimes we think we know everything. We don't. And one of the final points that I want to make this morning, I think it's one of the most important of this whole thing, based on what we talked about, that each one of us has faults. Each one of us are going to be put into a situation, are going to be faced with a situation in the coming days, to where we're going to be tested in this area, you know, in showing love to our fellow man. And the final point that I have here that I want to talk about is loving your neighbor means forgiving them. Each one of us is going to be wronged in our lifetime. Each one of us is going to wrong somebody else in our lifetime. And it's extremely important that we extend forgiveness towards that person. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, is when Jesus is talking to Peter, and Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." I don't even know what that number is, but it's a big number. And it's basically, Jesus was making the point of, it doesn't matter how many times we've been wronged. It doesn't matter how many times somebody comes to you and asks for forgiveness and says, "Hey, I messed up." It doesn't matter. Every time that happens, we have to extend that forgiveness. And I did not look up the verse, but there's a verse somewhere that it talks about if we don't extend forgiveness to our brother, Jesus will not extend that forgiveness to us. So if we want Jesus' forgiveness, and if we want to live a pure life and a life that is right before God, then we have to extend that forgiveness to people, and we have to be willing to ask for forgiveness as well if we're the one that's doing the hurting. Forgiveness is freely given to us, so if you love your neighbor, you will pass that forgiveness on to them. And I guess that's the point that I want to leave with you guys this morning, and as we go throughout the rest of this week, this coming week, and the months ahead. You know, we have to just accept the fact right now that we're going to make mistakes in the future. There's going to be times where we are going to fall short, and you know, we're going to have thoughts in our head that are about somebody that are not right, that are not nice. And what are we going to do with them? Are we going to leave them there? Are we going to continue to let them fester and to let it get worse? Or are we going to say, no, I'm not gonna think that way. I'm not gonna feel this way towards that person. I'm gonna extend love to them, and I'm going to love them with the love that Jesus has extended towards me. That is all I have to share this morning. Do you want me to close with prayer? Okay, let's pray, and I guess we'll remember the food as well. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you so much for allowing us to come together like this as a church and gather in this name, in your name, unhindered from the outside world, and we can have freedom to do that. And we just thank you so much. Thank you for being here with us this morning. I just pray, God, that you would, in the coming weeks and days, that you would help us, especially me, Father, that I would remember to extend the love of God to my fellow man and to my neighbors around me, and each one that I come in contact with, even if it's somebody that cuts me off in traffic and I just don't really like that and it's just really frustrating. Help us to show your love through our lives to other people around us so that we can be ultimately be a witness for you. Just thank you for this food that is prepared and downstairs. I just ask your blessing upon it and go with us the rest of this day and help us to use the strength from this food to further honor and glorify you. We ask this in your name. Amen.